Afternoon, wind waves 3 to 5 feet, westerly swells 6 to 8 feet at 13 seconds. 68 degrees at KSCO, 65 in Watsonville, 67 in Salinas, 60 in Monterey. Highway Patrol reporting at 12:33, disabled vehicle on northbound US 101, the Beta Bell Road off-ramp. It's pulled to the center divide with trunk open, and Highway Patrol will check on that. At 12:40, a traffic hazard reported Highway 1 at Wilder Ranch State Park, large piece of metal in between lanes 1 and 2. And at 1:02 this afternoon, a disabled vehicle, northbound US 101, near the San Martin Avenue off-ramp. Highway Patrol is at the scene there. 7 minutes now past 1 o'clock. On a Monday afternoon, the 2nd of April, as we return to KSCO Presents with Dr. Bill Wattenberg on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
And now, KSCO Presents Dr. Bill Wattenberg. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Wattenberg today, give us a telephone call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, Dr. Bill Wattenberg.
Hey, I love those stories from Kate Swirling. Well, you could have, you know. Say, let me begin one here, give you one here that's maybe just as cute. Here's one of the best blonde jokes I've heard in a long time. This one's a smart blonde story, believe it or not. This young blonde in her teens was out looking for a job, and she stopped at a guy's house to see if there was any yard work to do. And the old boy said, hey, well, I'll tell you what, lady, I want you to do a paint job for me. I'll give you $50. She says, oh, my, what's that? He said, well, look, here's a bucket of paint, 5 gallons of paint. I want you to paint the Porsche. And the young gal says, no problem. She starts out the door with it, and man's wife chides him and said, dear, did you know that's not fair? Well, that porch goes clear around the house. I mean, that's a couple of day job for that young lady. He said, well, it's too bad. She agreed to do it. Well, less than 2 hours later, there's a knock on the door. The old boy answers the door. The gal, the blonde, smiles and said, it's all done. I'm all through. The guy's just overwhelmed. He said, this lady really does a job in a hurry. He whips out the $50 and even gives her a $10 tip. And he said, you know, I just don't understand how well you could paint that Porsche. And she said, oh, by the way, mistress, it's not a Porsche, it's a Lexus. Okay. All right, your number in the studio is 831-479-1080. And you're the stars of this program now when you get in here and load up the switchboard and watch. It'll explode here now the second hour when you could have been on the first hour, and I won't be able to get to all of you. But we continue with anything you want to talk about, anything on your mind. And as always, hey, if you got a problem, a puzzle, something you've always been curious about, that's more fun than anything compared to these big political issues floating around all the time. But I will remind you again, the president, just this morning, has gone on the warpath complaining that the Supreme Court has no right to make decisions or overturn anything, quote, that the elected officials or elected or the electorate has determined. And yet this guy was supposed to be, claimed to be, a professor of constitutional law before he got into politics. I mean, what, did he even show up? Does he understand what the Constitution is? Constitution has certain requirements and rights and obligations that the elected majority can't take away. That's the whole purpose of the Supreme Court. And yet he's out, I think, trying to intimidate them a little bit to keep them from making any decision he might not like. That's gone over the line. Okay. Hey, Mike and Carmel, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz. Oh, wait a minute. I have to find Mike here. Are you with us, Mike?
Yes, I'm with you now.
All righty, now we have you. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Bill. Just a note on what you said. That did sound like Obama was threatening the court.
Well, sure he is. Sure he is. Listen to his words. He's simply saying, A non-elected body, meaning the Supreme Court, has no right to overturn or second-guess lawmakers or decisions made by the lawmakers or the electorate.
See? Yeah, he doesn't understand the role of the court. They're to pass judgment on its constitutionality.
It blows me away. How could he have been, or pretended to be, if that's the case, a professor of constitutional law? Maybe. I mean, what did he teach his students? go out in the street and be activists and overturn and do anything you want to hell with the Constitution?
Well,
I'm going to tell you again, I've consistently said I think the guy's very bright, brighter than his advisors over the last 3 years. If he used his own head and did what's good for this country, he'd go down in history because of his youth, his charisma. But, hey, he's blown the bubble as far as I'm concerned here recently.
Well, he's blinded by his ideology, and that's the way it's going to stay with him, I think.
Well, he's blinded by the religion of some advisors on the energy question, which is the most vital for our economy and the working people.
Well, that's a good segue into what I wanted to talk about, which is the definition of fossil fuel. Now, I'm just basing this on my 4 semesters of college-level geology, so I could be wrong and my memory could be faulty, but if I remember correctly, the only true fossil fuel that is always a fossil fuel is coal. And the other forms, for example, natural gas and petroleum, are constantly being produced as a result of subduction, which, as you know, is part of the continental drift process that's going on. So some of the natural gas is relatively new, as is some of the petroleum relatively new, whereas the coal is always goes back about, you know, 300 million years or so.
Could be. I'm not a geologist. I haven't studied it to the depth you have. I have read a number of reports and claims and discussions in scientific journals over the origin of fossil fuels, crude oil, coal, natural gas, all of it. And I haven't heard that, seen that clean dividing line that you're putting there, that coal is and the others aren't, and that they're constantly being produced, because I think there's very good evidence. Let me show you some good evidence for how old oil is, all right? Crude oil?
Yes.
You find almost no, zilch, carbon-14, okay? That means going back tens of thousands of years, it was there before that. But then there are other isotopes that are not there, which means they've depleted themselves. Now, here's how it works. If you have an isotope, a radioactive element, that has a half-life of 1 million years, that means you have some up in your hand, 1 million years from now, half of it will be gone. That's what a half-life means, right?
Right.
If, however, you find there's none of that in crude oil, it's all gone. It means that oil is at least several half-lives old, you know?
Well, no
four,
doubt.
4, 6, 8 million years. Well, on the basis on that, crude oil is much, much older than you just mentioned.
Right, but there's a difference between something being very old and something being a fossil. A fossil means it's a mineralized remains of something.
Well, look, your definition may prevail. I don't know, but
all
I'm
right.
Telling,
I just wanted to point
okay,
it out.
All right, let's take that. Let's use your definition of what it should be, according to geologists and scientists. But what counts is what the Secretary of Energy, the Energy Department, and Obama believes, and that they call all things that are producing excess CO2 into the atmosphere to call global warming. They call that a fossil fuel.
Well, I've been called a fossil, too, so maybe it all works out.
Oh, hey, join the crowd. What do you think they call me?
I don't want to hazard a guess.
You know, I still believe in paying your bills. I never borrowed money from anybody. Boy, I'm really a rickety old fossil.
And I'll bet you hate credit cards, too.
Yeah, I do. I reluctantly use one for gasoline.
It's an emergency sort of like.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's almost, you almost can't get any gasoline anymore. If you don't have a credit card, so.
But anyway, right,
I should say diesel because I don't use much gasoline. But hey, Mike, what do you do in Carmel?
Well, I'm semi-retired. Have run my own little business on the side. You know.
What's the business?
I do specialty work for artists in
Great.
The community here.
Great.
Well, it's pretty thin these days. There's not that much art being sold, but we can hope for a better future.
Yeah. Well, you probably know one of my very favorite magazines that I really think does a great job of displaying the art and the culture of Carmel, and that's Carmel Magazine.
Oh, yes, that is a great magazine.
Oh, hey.
And we're lucky here. We're lucky here with it. We also have a great little newspaper, the Carmel Pinecone.
Yes.
Much more unbiased reporting than you'll find anywhere else.
No, I read it regularly. I get clips and copies every week. I do a column for Carmel Magazine every few months, too. But great guy runs and puts that together, Steve Snyder and his wife Kelly. And the photography is just amazing.
Oh, their covers are excellent.
Well, I mean, but in the photography, what she does, and Steve's editing to go with it, I've had many people back east after they saw a copy sitting out on my coffee table. They're visiting out here somewhere. They were great New York Magazine, New Yorker, champions. They wanted to get a copy of Carmel Magazine. It's all over New York now, you know. So.
Oh, that's nice. Well, very good talking to you, sir, and I hope to speak with you again sometime.
Well, go over there and show them what you do. Maybe they've got something. Maybe you've got something photogenic they'd like to cover, huh?
All right. Thanks a lot. Now, bye bye.
All right. Take care. And once again, lines open for you here: 831-479-1080 into the world's greatest little talk radio station you'll ever find. Not so little. It's amazing the reach this signal 1080 from Santa Cruz has. You have to be up in Sacramento right now. My friends listening in over in the San Joaquin Valley covers most of the great Bay Area, the big Bay Area, all of Monterey Bay Area, of course. Central Coast, South, San Joaquin Valley. You can use it. You can multiply your own voice by about a million here real easily with just one, toll-free call. Toll-free on all your cell phones, of course. 831-479-1080 to the rest of the world. The world that counts, anyway. Susan in Monterey, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hi, Bill. Nice talking to you.
Well, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard you talk about the Diablo nuclear plant.
Yes.
And it reminded me back in 1987 through 89, I worked down in Garden Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd send the fire department along this street with a lot of industrial places. One by one, the fire department would go through, inspect them for violations and EPA stuff, and then fine them these huge amounts.
Yes.
And they did that to the company that I worked at also. But before the big fine came down, we went to ecological disposition company that would help us get rid of anything that was offensive to the fire department.
Uh-huh.
And they tried calling around to other companies to see if they, what was offensive was the residue from the plating of these metal objects that the factory produced.
Yeah, so, you're talking about your particular company now and its products, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And the environmentalist guy wanted to sell the residue to another industrial organization that could use a less pure version of that set of chemicals. And thus, gradually down the line, they would degrade by being put into service into different products.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fire department or whoever was in charge said, no, you cannot resell those products. They must go into a disposal area, which was, it turned out to be some tunnels somewhere near San Diego that were dug maybe a couple miles deep vertically. And all of the toxic brew was going to be put in 50-gallon drums and deposited there.
Yes.
And so knowing that California is laced with earthquake zones and so forth, I just think burial in San Diego means that eventually some earthquake fault line will dislodge them and interfere with the integrity of the seal, and those things will eventually come up to greet us again. I don't trust the government to know enough about the environment to make laws about the environment.
You mean you mean even the so-called protection laws, or I guess I'm trying to follow you here. Do you believe that the material should never have been just stuffed in the ground somewhere? It should have been reused, huh?
Yes.
Well, why not?
But the environmental company was prevented from doing that.
Yes, but you have to understand.
Okay. Said no.
Susan, you have to understand the typical government agency that establishes itself to regulate your life, or particularly to regulate substances that you're talking about. They must see these substances put in toxic waste dumps somewhere that charge enormous amounts of money, because this is how they get money in their pockets.
Yes, we did.
They get money in their pocket. You remember the great underground leaking fuel tank fraud? Estimated $30 billion taken out of the economy of California and 9,000 small businesses closed. Most of that fraud was just to force people to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to take a little dirt out that might have been contaminated for a while and ship it somewhere at $10,000 a ton. And all the money comes back to the people who worked in the game until a lot of it was exposed. That's all. But same thing happened. Yeah. The same thing you've just described. You know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Each company along that street was fined many thousands of dollars.
Sure.
So all that money went to the county, I guess.
Well, it got recycled back to the bureaucrats who pulled it off. That's all.
Yeah.
Good story. Hey. Good story. It's you see it everywhere. You want to know one of the biggest frauds of all? A horrible fraud.
What's that?
You know, there are tens of thousands of these hazmat crews and white coveralls and big expensive trucks and meters that they don't know how to read. And they get called out if you spill a little oil or gasoline or diesel alongside the road. I think it's 20, 30 gallons or something above that. It's a horrible, toxic spill. The danger. So they spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands in many cases, cleaning up these so-called toxic spills of a little diesel or oil somewhere. And yet the roads that they drive on to get there are millions and millions of barrels of oil soaked in gravel and dirt and rock to make what's called pavement, you see?
Yeah.
We've covered millions of square miles with this black asphalt in the form of pavement. And whenever the sun shines, a little of it oozes up, a little of the volatile parts of it go up in the air. And yet, if you spill a little of the oil, raw oil, over in some gravel off to the side of the road, which if you picked that gravel and oil up and heated it up and made pavement out of it, would be perfectly okay, see? Now, you go figure. You go figure what a massive fraud that is. I mean, somebody drops a quart of oil in the schoolyard. They want to close the school down, and yet it typically fell on the pavement of the playground, that is tens of thousands of gallons of oil mixed in with rock and sand to make pavement. Now you figure it out, huh?
Well, yeah. I think in that case they ought to close all the beaches in Southern California, because when you sit on the sand there, oil seeps up. You can see tar.
Oh, yeah.
It's
seeping up everywhere. But anywhere else, that would be called a toxic situation to call out the hazmat white suits who used to be shoe salesmen, you know, and they get a $100,000 job for putting on the hazmat coat. All right, hey, I hear you, and thanks for calling. Really appreciate it. Your number into the KSCO switchboard, 831-479-1080. Come along, load it up. I'll be right back.
Every day you hear, "Hi, how you doing? You're looking good." You see, to some extent, we are all concerned about our own and the health of others close to us. And when all is not well, let the staff at Horstlander Pharmacy come to the rescue. Hello, I'm Mark Wilson, pharmacist at Horstlander Pharmacy. we are part of a network of local, independently owned Health Mart pharmacies. As many can attest, you can depend on Horse Snyder's for its pharmacy expertise and personal service. Also, for those without prescription coverage, you'll be pleasantly surprised at our low prices.
Hi, Rosie Chalmers here. I have been a customer of Horse Snyder's Pharmacy for almost 20 years. Fabulous service, always a smile. They know who you are. It's the best in personal service. I highly recommend Horse Snyder's Pharmacy.
Swing by, take a look. Better yet, bring or transfer your prescriptions to Horse Snyder Pharmacy, the locally owned Health Mart Pharmacy that cares for you and about you. 1226A Soquel Avenue, Santa Cruz. Call 423-2315 or horsesnyder.com.
Hi, Dale here from Jungle Plant. I thought it was time for you all to hear about the great interior plant service we provide.
This is Dr. Jason Novick from the Foot Clinic of Santa Cruz, located in the heart of Soquel Village. I'm here to tell you all about Jungle Plant, who does my plants in my office, which never looked better. I just can't believe the service they offer and how great the office looks.
Visit us at jungleplant.com for all your interior plant needs.
With support and encouragement from Bishop Richard Garcia, the traditional Latin High Mass is offered every Sunday at 8:45 a.m. at the Shrine of St. Joseph, 544 Westcliff Drive, Santa Cruz. Sacred and mystical worship in the ancient tradition of the Church is presented with Gregorian chant and sacred polyphony. All are welcome. For more information, go to www.missionlatinmass.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
When you look at what's going on around this planet, it's almost as if someone has got a playbook to try to control all these countries all of a sudden. I've always said that not everything is a conspiracy, but a lot of it is.
You know, when you start looking into things, there's only a certain set of conclusions you can reach. And unfortunately, this is one of them. You know, it's very, very hard not to see things like that when you start looking at things in a larger picture.
Okay, let's see. Jan in San Lorenzo Valley, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hi, Dr. Bill.
Say, are you still whipping out your bumper stickers far out?
We're spreading them around still.
You are, huh? Well, he should respond to some of that and explain some things that have a lot of folks disturbed, but...
He's been pretty quiet, hasn't he?
Well, he's totally enmeshed in the crowd that considers all of you working citizens to be spoilers of the environment that require armies of green-suited government troops to keep you in check. You think?
Yeah. Well, I'm calling about the California Association of Colleges, what you were reading to us about them.
Well, that was the Association of Scholars, California Association of Scholars. And its main organization is the National Association of Scholars. National Association of Scholars.
Okay. Well, the thought came to me that, the university students, if they were really smart, they could form a class action suit against universities because they're getting a poor education. They're getting a one-sided, inferior, slanted education that's mostly political and not fundamental.
They certainly could, and they could be suing every, quote, political activist professor, instructor who insists on religious, religious adherence to whatever that particular politics happens to be, rather than studying critically alternatives and learning to think.
Right.
That's the worst, but that's what they hate, though. They hate students in particular to start thinking.
Yeah. also, they're paying these huge student loans for an education that isn't going to get them a decent job. These people coming from other countries are getting better jobs than they are.
You bet they are. And more than that, our jobs are going overseas where these students in other countries are getting a much better education. Look, the numbers are appalling.
Mm-hmm.
In the sciences and in engineering and in technology, which is the driving force of societies these days,
mm-hmm.
China and India are training 30 times more students than we are.
Yeah.
Not a few more, not 10 more, 30 times more.
Wow.
And someone wonder why the high-tech industry has gone overseas and left America behind? We're more and more becoming a source of resources and servicing for manufacturing and product designers elsewhere in the world.
Well, it seems like these universities are trying to amass an army of dumbed-down sheeple who will respond whenever they want for some political advantage. I know in this town, Santa Cruz County, one of the students up there wrote a paper on how to take over a small town, and he's on the city council, I believe, now.
Oh, yeah, they're all over the place. That's this Agenda 21 thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And they're changing the voting in our area. It's hard for us to get good people in because they help with the unions. It's hard for a person to combat that.
But you see, they all believe it'll go on forever, that there is a money train somewhere that's going to send money into Santa Cruz County area to take care of all of them leaning on the public payrolls and handouts and welfare and loans. It comes to an end. And when it does, those that don't know how to produce, take care of themselves, starve to death. I mean, figuratively. I mean, they're not allowed to die.
Yeah.
But they'll have nothing to show for it. There are no jobs out there for people who have just practiced a religion somewhere in politics rather than learn to read and write and figure and think critically and so forth, you know?
Yeah, they're not going to be prepared at all. They're going to be in trouble. And they're going to be trying to find ways of getting more and more money from us.
Well, read this report, A Crisis of Competence, submitted to the Regents of the University of California by the National Association of Scholars, NAS is its name. You can look it up, National Association of Scholars. I'm sure you'll find the report. Really disturbing, scathing report about the consequences of political activists who've snuck into our universities and took over faculty positions and classrooms everywhere, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, when I graduated in 1971, there weren't any jobs for us then. But we all went out there and found something to do.
I'll never forget the first words or motto that I saw when I walked into the the electrical engineering department at UC Berkeley as a first year grad student, and over the doorway leading to the student room where students could go and have lunch and eat and so forth, the wise chairman of the EE department had inscribed a motto up there. It said, "I always wanted to be an engineer, and now I are one."
That's cute.
That he didn't have to tell you. You guys had better go take English 1A and learn to read and write if you're going to go anywhere in this world.
Yeah, parents should really analyze what they're getting for their money when they send their children to these universities and they come back the way they do with these theories, and they want to tell the parents that everything they did for them was wrong, and there's no, they want to take everything away, but they don't want to give us a system that works.
Well, I remember my dad's old parody on that subject. He never finished high school, but he always questioned me each vacation and summer I came home from college, because he was helping to pay for it. He wanted to know what I learned, and I was always trying to upstage him a little bit. And one day he said, "Billy," he said, "you get ready. We're fixing to go to Reno." And I said, "Dad, that's really poor English. Fix means to repair." And he said, "Yeah, boy, we're repairing to Reno." Okay, right. Take care. Thanks for calling. And we have Rory in Watsonville. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz. Rory.
Thank you, Bill, for taking my call. I just wanted to touch on the whole climate change, global warming dynamic. We know that there was a medieval climate optimum, and I've read that the temperatures worldwide were as much as 3 to 4 degrees higher on average. And I think that was, I want to say Fahrenheit. It might have been Celsius. I don't recall.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Fahrenheit. Yeah, Celsius would be a little high, but
little toasty. But the point I'm making is that we know we've had cool periods. We know we had the glaciation with the ice age. We know we've had warm periods recently. Is you know, the year 1200. And I've read at least one astrophysicist, I think her name was Valania, she said that the climate's being driven by the sunspot activities. So I know there's a wide range of opinion out there. The other thing that I keep thinking about, Bill, is that is not the gas, the greenhouse gas, a consequence in our atmosphere, isn't it water vapor? Doesn't it kind of trump?
Well, water vapor is the biggest greenhouse gas in terms of absorbing or stopping infrared rays go out. But they're different frequency spectra that different gases handle. And CO2 is certainly another one. Methane is 10, 20 times more severe than CO2, but fortunately in much, much smaller quantities. But look,
yet, that's being produced naturally all over the world all the time.
Methane. What? Methane. Well, methane's being released is being produced. Yeah, termites, for instance, produce an enormous amount. But it's also being released where it's trapped in the oceans or beneath the oceans on the continental shelves. If we ever got warm enough to release that, we'd be in real trouble. But again, if you look at the known history of fluctuations in climate, and we've been through ice ages, we've been through all these things, it just seems a little strange that the present cult, the present group, that looks upon climate change as unique, all the cause of man, and the worst thing in the world, you never hear them ask the question or even consider the question, what possible benefits could there be? I mean, does it's going to keep us out of another ice age? Or is the warming going to open up more agriculture to feed the masses? I'll give you an example they'll never even talk about. Global warming in the last 40 years, has, according to some, extended the growing period in Northern Europe by 11 days. That's an enormous amount of food, you see.
Right.
They never counterbalance that with telling you how the natives on a South Sea island will get their toes wet when the water level comes up, you see. And they'll tell you that it's really catastrophe around the corner where by their worst estimates, in another 80 years, the water level might go up just a little above your socks and your sandals, and you won't be smart enough to back up a few feet. See?
Yeah, and it's been raising ever since the end of the last glacial period. The other thing is people forget is that the Romans grew wine grapes in southern England, which tells you that it was a lot warmer when the Romans occupied the British Isles.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether that, you know, what that really means.
That's a fact.
Okay. Well, it could very well be. I mean, there's evidence of some claim there's evidence that we had almost tropical weather in the Arctic at some times in the past. But we have all these fluctuations. The astounding thing is, we have been part of an absolutely amazing 10,000 years of quiescence in what's known as the history of the world, from ice ages to all these other periods. And when are we going to come out of it? That's the question.
I was just going to say thank you for your efforts to continue to educate those that aren't in the atmospheric or the physical sciences directly, but we can get our thoughts and our mind around some of these concepts. And my biggest concern is yours, is that there are those that polyparrot the jargon of global warming, they're attempting. I just get a sense that there's a element that's attempting to stampede the average citizen into a scarcity mindset, that we don't have a plentiful planet that can support us, and that we're all, if we don't do these drastic measures, we're all going to burn up. And I just don't see the evidence for it, personally.
Well, I have to tell you, what disturbs me is some of the best and brightest scientists in terms of creativity in very narrow areas, on the other hand, belong to this sort of religious cult that, indeed, climate warming is the worst thing that could happen. The Earth's coming to an end, and nothing else counts. You can punish the American public endlessly. Unfortunately, the Secretary of Energy, Dr. Stephen Chu, openly openly points out that stopping global warming, stopping the use of fossil fuels is more than important than anything else. And he's declared some time ago he would like to see the price of gasoline go to European prices. That's $10 a gallon now, thereabouts. He's convinced the president that is a vision and a purpose far more important than anything else. And how in the world they cannot understand that if we don't have a healthy economy and money for research, we won't be able to support research to find new things. Well, it's crumbling right now. We're going into debt so deeply.
I think that's part of their plan. I think they want to deindustrialize us. And I think that, you know, you look at the amount of education that's going on in Asia, in India in particular, in the science and math angles on things, it's directly going to accelerate their ability to produce, manufacture, develop, create. They're just going to walk past us in a couple decades if we don't turn this thing around.
They're doing it right now, Rory. Let me give you an example of just how stupid it is. You've heard me mention at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, the only big Apollo Manhattan scale project we have in this country to develop new energy, to try to achieve controlled thermonuclear fusion, to use hydrogen for energy, the holy grail of the world. That's been going on. They've built the facility. They're doing the crucial experiments. And the Department of Energy under Obama suddenly has decided to cut their budget next year and close them down. Now, let me give you an example of how absurd it is. This is a $300 million a year effort to do the experiments after a nearly $4 billion investment to build the facility. But they're going to shut it down. And yet right down the road, 20 miles away, they threw $550 million in the front door of the place without even going in to see the lawyers already preparing the bankruptcy papers.
That's Solyndra.
Solyndra. $550 million thrown away in that one place, and they drove right by this country's greatest scientific effort, the National Ignition Facility. They drove the president right by that without him seeing to take him over for a photo opportunity in front of a bankrupt company and make a damn fool out of him. Now, what the hell is going on with our country? Huh?
Well, and Bill, didn't they do that in Texas in the early 90s? Didn't they have an accelerator that they were building in Texas?
Rory, but there were some other factors in that. That really was a boondoggle of massive overruns, confusion, what have you. But here we have a success on its way, according to many scientists, if we just keep working. And you know what the outside world thinks of this NIF facility, the world's biggest lasers to do this? They're copying it. The Chinese are racing to copy it right now. The French are copying it. And let me finish the sentence for you. And guess what? Last week, the Russians, some of the most skeptical in the world, said they're going to copy it because they believe completely it will succeed in achieving what's called ignition, the fusion of hydrogen into helium to release enormous amounts of energy. The rest of the world's doing that, and our own Department of Energy that's betting this country on growing switchgrass or corn stalk to make ethanol 10 years from now is shutting down our own science. Shutting down our own science, huh?
Is there any congressional effort that could undo this?
You bet. A lot of people, members of Congress and the Senate both, are objecting. But just the fact that these cats try this, this religious cult running the Department of Energy and running your president tries things like this.
I think you're right. It's a religious cult. Keep us posted on that, please, and what we can do as citizens to help undo that.
Well, go over and call Sam Farr, your congressman's office, and see whether they're aware of this and they'll do something about it. Don't shock me with the answer you get from him, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you, Bill, for keeping us informed. I don't think I would have read about that. At least I haven't to this point otherwise.
Well, you will be in the future and more from me, but I'll bet he doesn't even know about it.
Okay.
Hey, take care.
Thanks. I'll keep listening. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, we're down to the final segment here coming up. Your number, 831-479-1080. Load up the switchboard here and have a little fun. I'd rather hear from you and things that are of interest to you, such as what Rory brought up here, than just to give you a monologue. 831-479-1080. I'll be right back.
Every day you hear, "Hi, how you doing? You're looking good." You see, to some extent, we are all concerned about our own and the health of others close to us. And when all is not well, let the staff at Horstlander Pharmacy come to the rescue. Hello, I'm Mark Wilson, pharmacist at Horstlander Pharmacy. We are part of a network of local, independently owned Health Mart pharmacies. As many can attest, you can depend on Horstlander's for its pharmacy expertise and personal service. Also, for those without prescription coverage, you'll be pleasantly surprised at our low prices.
Hi, Rosie Chalmers here. I have been a customer of Horstnider's Pharmacy for almost 20 years. Fabulous service, always a smile. They know who you are. It's the best in personal service. I highly recommend Horstnider's Pharmacy.
Swing by, take a look. Better yet, bring in or transfer your prescriptions to Horstnider Pharmacy, the locally owned Health Mart Pharmacy that cares for you and about you. 1226A Soquel Avenue, Santa Cruz. Call 423-2315 or horstnider.com.
Welcome to Automated Computer Services, America's most drawn-out tech support line.
For our hours of operation, press 2. To speak with a customer service representative, press 3. To leave a message about how frustrated you are, press 4. Hello, you've reached our complaint department. If you'd like to leave a complaint, press the star key. For verbal complaints, press 1. For threats, press 2. If you plan to use explosives, press 3. I'm sorry, the mailbox for our explosive threat department is currently full.
Tired of unfriendly computer support? Hi, I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing. Visit us today at 505 River Street on the way to downtown Santa Cruz, across from Gateway Plaza. Don't know what's wrong with your computer, but want us to check it out? Mention KSCO and get a free $50 diagnostic. Call us today at 423-9653. That's your friendly computer experts at 423-9653. User Friendly Computing.
Hey folks, are you stressed out lately? Stressed out about your job? Stressed out about your family? Stressed out about your relationships? Well, sorry, I can't help you there. But if you're stressed out about your real estate situation, maybe I can help you. I'm Randy Turnquist, longtime local resident and California realtor. Don't hide your real estate problems and just hope they'll get better by themselves. You need the information and the knowledge to make intelligent decisions and take action. If you'd like a private conversation about your real estate situation, give me a call at 477-3173. If you're stressed out about your real estate situation, I may have a solution for you. Remember, talk is free, and who knows, I may be able to help. So if you'd like a private conversation, give my private phone line a call at 477-3173. Don't hide your real estate problems and just hope they'll get better by themselves. Give me a call at 477-3173.
Hey kids, what time is it? That's right, it's happy hour. Hi, I'm Charlie Friedman, inviting you to our afternoon get-togethers here on KSCO. Join me weekdays at 4 here on your favorite radio station for 3 hours of news, traffic, weather, news talk, and a few great 78s from my vast collection. So, listen to Happy Hour on KSCO. Learn why they call me the genial genius of Watsonville. Happy Hour, 4 to 7 weekdays on KSCO.
All right, your number into the switchboard. Final 10 minutes here. Come along, light it up a little bit. 831-479-1080. I'll bet you've got a little good cheer as we fade away for today. But I've got a message for a lot of folks that's important. If you get a lot of static or nighttime fade out on your radio, when you listen to me on KSCO, here's a solution for you. It's called the CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio. And I've told you about the tens of thousands that we know of now who are listening to this program, and many others, by the way, over the Internet, called streaming. Every radio station now streams or puts its content on the Internet. And if you can pick it up, it's perfectly clear. No interference, no static, what have you. Well, the C. Crane Company has produced a radio just for that purpose, called the CC Wi-Fi radio. It picks up the Internet signal from any Wi-Fi, a lot of folks, most folks have them in their home now. You can walk around anywhere where it can pick up the Wi-Fi signal. You don't even have to go through the computer. The radio picks it up directly, logs on to that site, and you have a radio, just like any other radio. Looks like one, too. Knobs and dials, even a remote control. And you can take it anywhere in the world and listen to this program. And it's the same clarity as if you were right under the antenna somewhere. By the way, there's an organized list of probably 5,000 stations around the world. You can listen to news and music anytime you want as well. You can order the CC Wi-Fi for only $139.95. Believe me, you can't find a better radio than that for that money. Call the Sea Crane Company at 800-522-8863. 800-522-8863. Or you can visit them online anytime at ccradio.com. That's ccradio.com. And see, there are hundreds of amazing products. Believe me, if you need something special for that special person, you want to start right there. You'll be amazed. Okay. Interesting topic. I was looking at the email, people commenting on past shows, and boy, did I get a slug of comments coming in from women in particular when I read this about a report out from Match.com, you know, tries to put people together in romantic relationships. And one of the things they covered in a survey was what people looked for in a potential mate the most on first meeting. Well, turns out 65% of the women pointed out hygiene. I mean, how clean is this guy? What's he smell like? What's he look like? So forth. Well, that fits from what I learned when I was young. But that triggered another thought that most people don't like to talk about. And yet I've seen a couple of horrible, horrible situations with people who had bad breath. And the tragedy is, if you have bad breath, most people won't tell you. Friends and around, they just back up a little bit, stay away from you. But it's so easy to make sure that you're not offensive in that way with a little mouthwash at home. I don't know why anyone would go to an interview or on a date or out with someone or even at home with a spouse or kids without checking their breath and using a little mouthwash. That we know all get bad breath at one time or another. But, gee, I remember two occasions that just made me cringe. One, when I was on the faculty at UC Berkeley, IBM came along. I was teaching graduate courses in digital computer design at that time. IBM came along, and they had a very special position. They wanted a top graduate student. They were going to send this student to Germany in opening a new facility. And they wanted, of course, preferably a German-speaking student who was very top, you know, top grades in double E. I had one. And I even took the special, care to go with him to a luncheon where the IBM recruiters were showing up to actually sign him up. They decided he was so good on paperwork with his grades and his background, they were just going to sign him up. And we got there. At the table, small table, nice restaurant. Even at 2 feet away, his breath was so bad it would knock a maggot off a gut wagon. I'm not kidding. I mean, it was just so offensive you had to back up from the table. And I felt sorry for him. He couldn't say anything. But everybody endured this for, very brief lunch. And they just sort of backed up and said, hey, well, we'll get a hold of you later. And he never heard a word from him. All because he just didn't pay a little attention to hygiene. And yet, 6 years later, when I was running a major corporation, Berkeley Scientific Laboratories, I happened to be in a meeting again with some Wall Street types and a fellow who had a small company. He wanted to sell it. I was invited there just to, as a friend, I guess, to encourage the Wall Streeters to buy his company. And again, a deal that was almost concluded before he even got there. We sat down at a table, and the same thing again. And I could just see within 30 seconds what was going to happen. Indeed, it did happen. Quick lunch. They backed away, said, we'll get a hold of you. You never heard from him again. And the only thing that happened was just simply his breath was offensive. And again, it's something no one ever, look, it's happened to me. Unfortunately, the blessing for me had been kids. Kids are not bashful. They say, Daddy, your breath is horrible, or your breath smells like the dog's tail or something, you know. And then you realize you better go get a little mouthwash and find out why this is happening. And it happens to different people. I'm not a medical doctor, but they're the dentists and experts on this subject. It'll tell you the usual bacterial origin of bad breath, which is hydrogen sulfide is one of them. And there's certain bugs, anaerobic bugs, that grow in your mouth, particularly at nighttime, that create this. But back to the original story and all the emails I've gotten here on this subject, many, many people focused on that and said, Bill, why don't you just say something to people to double check? It's so simple. Just find a kid and blow in their face and say, how's my breath? Boy, they'll tell you in a hurry. Whereas a good friend, sometimes even a spouse, will put up with it and to be polite and won't bother you. Put it on your checklist anyway, okay? Now, to review a few things here, since I don't have another one of you here to talk to right now at 478-1080-831. But I guess we can begin tomorrow here, noon to 2 p.m. again. Recapping a little bit of what's going on, sad for me to hear the President of the United States this morning criticizing the Supreme Court because, according to him, it might dare to overturn or pass judgment on what he calls laws passed by the elected officials. Now, that's one of the most outrageous things any president of the United States could possibly say who pretends to understand the Constitution and the three main branches of our government. And it began with the Constitution that guarantees certain rights to citizens, okay? Rights that can't be taken away by elected officials or the electorate. That's his whole purpose, to prevent the tyranny of the majority. And yet the president is standing up and saying, Supreme Court should have no right to do that. I think it's a direct attempt to maybe even intimidate the court in some way or turn the population of people against it. If it is, it's really going to backfire. But I hope he explains what he meant by that. I really do. Because that's going over the line. It really is. And I'd say the same thing if it were a Republican president, independent president, anybody. To suggest that the Supreme Court has no right to decide what is constitutional, to decide what is protected by our Constitution. To do that means every protection you know goes out the window. It's simply up to whatever majority you can gather up to vote something down or for, and you've had it. And keep in mind, when the day comes that there are more people taking money from the federal government, more people on the take, and look, retired deserve what they're getting, but still they're getting money. When there are more people getting money from the government that has to be paid by a fewer productive people, it's all over with. Because they'll always vote to take everything away from the productive people to the point there won't be any. And then you have nothing. Nothing for everyone. That's the one lesson I've learned and I've seen. You might want to argue with it. Hey, so come along tomorrow. Give me a run for my money here on KSCO Presents. I'm Bill Wattenberg. You've been a marvelous audience as usual. Today, used a few more of you on the lines. You using this great radio station. Try it tomorrow. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, everywhere at 1080 on the AM dial. Let's go!
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A city council member says six people are dead, three injured after a man with a gun described as a former nursing student known to be disgruntled went to Oikos University, a religious school in Oakland, California. KCBS's Doug Sovereign.
We just spoke with a woman named Deborah Lee. She's Korean. She's taking English as a second language class here, and she described hearing a series of shots, not sure what was happening, thinking it was some sort of joke, and then people starting to scream, and her teacher saying, "Someone has a gun, run," and everyone ran outside, and then she got a phone call from someone else inside saying, call 911," from someone in the office, so she did.
Right now, our SWAT teams are searching to find out if there are any additional victims or if there are any additional fatalities. And that's what our SWAT team is doing at this time.
That's the police spokeswoman in Oakland, Jonna Watson. After the most closely watched Supreme Court hearings in years on President Obama's signature health care overhaul, what does the president think?
I'm confident that this will be upheld because it should be upheld.
We'll find out toward the end of the term in late June. The latest in the Trayvon Martin shooting investigations is a call for another investigation.
The FBI tells CBS News it's begun its own investigation, talking to neighbors and witnesses in Sanford. Trayvon Martin's family has asked the Justice Department for a civil rights investigation. They want to know why both the police chief and state's attorney went against the recommendation of a homicide detective who thought George Zimmerman should be arrested. As for Zimmerman, his attorney says that he'll surrender if charged. Sources tell CBS News Zimmerman's been in touch with Sanford police regularly and has been cooperating. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Maybe there are too many mammograms being done. A new study says for sure there are too many.
Harvard researchers estimate up to one quarter of breast cancer cases are overdiagnosed as a result of routine mammograms. Tumors are found that pose no real threat, says Dr. Matta Callagher.
The theory is that you detect tumors early and thus prevent late-stage disease later on. And what we found is that there is no reduction in advanced stage diseases.
In this Annals of Internal Medicine study, a woman's risk of being harmed was 30 to 40 times greater than her chances of being saved. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
UN Envoy Kofi Annan says Syria has agreed to his six-point peace plan and a withdrawal of troops and tanks by April 10th. At the UN today, the U.S. ambassador said actions will speak the loudest. The man who received the nation's first full face transplant talked to reporters today in Boston. Dallas Weens is a little hard to understand because he doesn't have his teeth yet.
I go out all the time with my family, my friends, my little girl. I don't worry about what anyone else is going to think. I hardly ever get a second look.
His original face was ruined in a power line accident in 2008. He says he went through with the transplant because he wanted to feel his daughter's kiss on his cheek again. Now he can. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 52 points. NASDAQ was up 28. This is CBS News.
Manta.com here with small business owner Joe Buchek of Lighthouse Construction and Restoration.
Yeah, I'll be right down.
With Manta, business has grown 50%. He's so busy.
Whoa, super busy.
He's expanding to new cities. If Joe had a free moment, he'd tell you himself how Manta.com helps him get found on search engines and smartphones.
You tell him for me.
Well, I think it just did. Claim your free profile where small business grows. Manta.com.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment, and during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited-term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
The NCAA Men's Championship is tonight in New Orleans.
As pumped as Kentucky,
go, go, go.
Kansas fans are, New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu seems equally as excited that they're here.
They've been unbelievable.
And he says they're spending a whole lot of cash.
$134.1 million economic impact.
Last year set tourism records in New Orleans, and this year started with the BCS National Championship in college football, now college basketball's Final Four, and the major events just keep on coming until February.
It's going to culminate, at least for the time being, in the 2013 Super Bowl.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
There are a few too many wolves living and hunting, sometimes livestock, in Wisconsin these days, which is why Governor Scott Walker has signed a bill from the legislature to create a wolf hunting season. Mid-October through the end of February, the number of licenses to be determined by state officials. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KSEO AM 1080. I'm Sam Quinn, and here is your traffic and weather for the 2 o'clock hour. Starting off in San Jose, northbound U.S. 101 at northbound I-680, we have a traffic hazard there involving a black Honda Accord and a white van. Moving over to the Santa Cruz area, we have a traffic hazard at Highway 1 and Wilder Ranch State Park Drive, and there is a large metal vehicle chassis between the number 1 and number 2 lanes. No CHP on site there. Turning to the weather, today mostly sunny, highs in the upper 60s, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly clear, lows in the mid-40s, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour, becoming light. The boaters forecast for the Monterey Bay for this evening.